and I got Silas the Red Rider for Christmas, and that just started him right down the trail, and we never could stop him from hunting and fishing after that. But I remember Michelle coming to, should we let Silas, he wants to go shoot a pigeon. I remember saying to Michelle, he's never going to shoot a pigeon. I said, he might get a squirrel or a chipmunk, but it'll be a few months of trying before. And so we let him go try to shoot a pigeon at the camp, and half an hour later, here comes Silas back with the pigeon. I never doubted him and his hunting and fishing abilities since. So, but anyways, gifts. We talked about gifts, and I thought that was perfect introduction, because I think we're saying, go tell it on the mountain tonight. And if you were here this morning, you heard I'm starting a new series on personal evangelism, how to give away your faith, to share the gospel. And I think it was very, very, very fitting. And tonight's just an introduction. And I would like to be interactive, prepared to share. And after we're done with being prepared to share, we're going to talk about what an evangelist is. And then we will talk about you being somebody, sharing your faith, and helping you prepare to know what to say, how to say, what you can do. And so tonight is just, in this topic of prepared to share, it's just an introduction to get you excited and hopefully thrilled about the idea of sharing your faith. I said it this morning, and I would love it. Yeah, I think it would be great for the church, and I hope you agree, but I would like a goal that every single one of us, myself, you, everybody, we have a goal in the next year to invite and bring a guest, every single one of us, to bring a guest to church next week. Next year. In the coming year, for all of us to go out and look and find how we can share our faith and invite somebody out to church who doesn't normally go to church. I think that would be a neat goal for every single one of us to have for the coming year. And so, my first question, and I think there we go, why don't we witness? Why we don't witness? So your answers, the things that you say right now, might reflect some of the things that I've got on here, but I'd kind of like maybe some responses. And I'd like to hear and that's okay, it's Sunday night. It is kind of formal, but this isn't the most formal environment. So I would love some responses. We talk and think, why haven't you shared your faith? What is a reason, an excuse? Or maybe what might be something keeping you from sharing your faith? Lack of education. What? Fear. Okay. What else? Why don't we witness? Why don't we share our faith? Yeah. Doesn't seem like the time or place. I agree with that one. I feel that one often.
Afraid of rejection.
Afraid of rejection.
Not knowing how to start the conversation.
Oh, I'm glad. I talk about some of these things over the next few weeks, and some of the things that we can say and some of the reactions to that. But my goal, my purpose here tonight is to get us excited about the idea of sharing the gospel. And then after that, talking about why it's important that we go out and we evangelize the lost. And then after that, giving us some questions, some tools, some resources, some education, and some things to help us get beyond the fear. I've got a plan.
And it's going to take a while, but I think it's worth taking a while because it's important that we share our faith. I got another question for you. And I'd almost like a show of hands. How many of you here know someone that you would like to see in church next to you in the next year, or like for you to know beyond a shadow of doubt that they know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior the next year? I thought we'd probably get everybody. You can instantly think of someone that you'd like to be sitting next to you in church, and you'd like to know beyond the shadow of a doubt that they know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. So I encourage us to make it a goal, something we're going to work towards, to be more bold and share our faith and invite people the next year. If you've been sitting in the pews, you know that I like to share the gospel of Jesus Christ and the finished work of Jesus on the cross and his resurrection and people coming to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior because he likes to change lives. And I'd like to get you guys excited about sharing that and to embolden all of us and to get us doing that. Okay? So as we look at this, why we don't witness. And I wrote some things down here. I put down some things that I thought of. And first of all, maybe nobody said this, and I'm glad they didn't. It's the pastor's job. I thought I'd start with that one. But that's true. It is the pastor's job, but not just his job. It's his job as much as everybody else, right? But I think if a Christian were to say, it's not my job, it's the pastor's job, that would be inappropriate. They missed what Jesus Christ was talking about. Let's turn in our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, and let's read verses 12 and 13. I guess we could back up and start in verse 11. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edification of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So here we see that the pastor and the teacher's job, but you see, evangelist and pastor in this passage of Scripture are different gifts. And I'm not saying that I think every pastor should be a little bit of an evangelist. And any pastor who's doing his job preaches the gospel. And that's important. But here, the pastor's job is equipping of the saints to go out and do the ministry. So part of my responsibility as a biblical pastor is to prepare you to go out and witness. Because if it's just on one guy, you know, I'm just going to be trying to drag people to heaven. But Jesus Christ wanted the gospel to be exponential. And that's the way it worked, right? That's the way it still works when Christians are doing what they're supposed to. The pastor is supposed to equip the people of the church to go out and win the lost. So I heard somebody say, and I've heard some, I don't know, I need to be educated. Well, here's your education. All right? And I'm going to try to do my best to prepare you and help you to be able to give away your faith. Number two, why we don't witness. I will impose on others. You know, I don't want to be too imposing. I don't want to step on toes. Maybe, I don't know if they want to hear it, but maybe that's a a reason. And that's kind of one that I think that is the timing right? Should I talk about that now? Is this appropriate? Well, let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 5. I'd like to start in verse 3 so we get some context. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 3, it says, "But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age is blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus Christ. For it is God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." The people that we are reaching out to, they're in a dark world and they are doomed. And we might think that, oh, I don't know if the time is right, I don't know, but it's not about us. It's about their relationship with Jesus Christ. And that is very, very, very important. The next one, I don't necessarily have a Bible verse for, but it's one that people could often use as an excuse. I will be laughed at. I get that. I understand that. And I can remember, I've said this many times, there was a time where I was walking away from faith in Jesus Christ when I was a teenager, until I decided to directly surrender myself to Jesus Christ. And I can remember going up to people and saying, and it's kind of interesting because I heard somebody doing that this week at school. And I'd go up to people and I'd say, and they'd say, "Where do you go to school?" And they were looking for an answer like Binghamton or Shenango. I'd say, "Oh, I go to private school." I didn't come out and say Central Baptist Christian Academy. And I can remember there coming a time in my life where I said, God, I'm going to surrender to you, and I will never do anything like that again. If somebody says, "Where do you go to school?" I'll say, "I go to the Christian school." "Where do you go to college?" I go to Christian college. "And where do you work?" "I work at a church, at a Christian school." And so I think that's important, that we don't worry about if they laugh. Let me ask you this. Would you rather be a person who may be laughed at by the world today, or somebody who is separated from Christ forever and has to kneel at the feet of Jesus? Because even in the midst of not acknowledging him as your personal Savior, you know, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. I'd rather confess him as my Lord and Savior today, no matter the consequences. And I think that's very, very, very important. Next one I put is, I don't know my Bible. I don't know my Bible. And I can remember the day that this book became daily reading for me. And it has been daily reading ever since. That was when I went to share my faith. And I was sharing my faith with some Muslim men in prison. And they asked me a bunch of questions. And I left feeling like those guys in prison who were Muslims knew this book better than I did and had lots of questions. And so I went home and I wrote their questions down
and I looked up the answers to their questions, and it was at that point in that time that I became a serious student of the Word of God, and it became a daily thing that I read. And I know many times we feel like we don't know our Bible. The Bible is such a big book. I don't know it. I don't have all the answers. I don't believe you have to have all the answers, but I believe the Word of God has all the answers. Amen. And I believe that if you study, you will learn more, and you will be able to have more to say. And if you are daily reading your Bible, it will make a difference. And maybe the other thing is, I'm too busy. I'm too busy. And maybe at work, to a coworker, when you're on the job, might not be the best time to stop in the middle of the workday and share the gospel. But there's other times. There's break time. There's after work. There's inviting them out to a church dinner after work, where you can get the opportunity and the time. And I think if we're too busy to share the gospel, then we need to change our priorities a little bit, because that's eternal rewards. That's eternal business. And we need to make sure that we aren't too busy to share the gospel. Okay? My next question is for you, and I'll put that up here on the board, and I'd like some responses to this too. Why, as a church, and I'm going to ask in a minute for you as an individual, but I'm going to ask for us as a church, I'm going to say that witnessing, sharing your faith, personal evangelism is important. For this church, for First Baptist Port Crane, or for the Universal Church, for the church around the world, why is it important that the church be involved in personal evangelism? Because we're told to. We're commanded to. Okay, that's on my list. Good, Carlton. Yep. Any other reasons? What? For growth. Good. Good. Any other reasons?
It's a way to serve the Lord.
It's a way to serve the Lord. Very good. Very good. Anything else you can think of?
If we don't, who's going to?
That's under personal. Excuse me. We'll get to that one. But I got a few reasons up here that I'd like to. First one, you'll be blessed. You will be blessed if you share the gospel. As a matter of fact, I have, throughout my Christian life, I've sat and listened to people who love to go out and share the gospel, and they said, it's been a blessing, and I've enjoyed it, and I look forward to it. I've never heard somebody say, you know, I witnessed my whole life. I shared the gospel, and it was the worst thing I ever did, and I regret every moment of it. Never heard anybody say that. You know, it's funny. I've heard a lot of unbelievers talk about their life and the things that they think are going to bring them pleasure, and I've heard them talk about regret, you know? And they talk about, right, when they're young, the things that they want to go and they want to do. At the end of their life, they regret it. But I've never heard someone, maybe I will one day, but I kind of doubt it. But I've never heard someone say, I went out, I shared the gospel, I shared my faith with others, I talked about Jesus Christ, and I wish I'd never done that. I wasted all my time and all my years. Never heard anyone say that. You will be blessed. You will be blessed. Number two. People will be walking the aisle. Wouldn't that be awesome? I mean, wouldn't it be a big blessing to this church if on a Sunday morning we shared the gospel and here we watched
unbelievers come down and do business with Jesus Christ and gave their life and surrendered their heart and said, I believe in Jesus Christ and I want to follow him. That'd be a blessing. Amen. But it'd also be a challenge and work, because then we've got to disciple them, right? We ready for that? I hope we are. I hope we're excited about that and about that important work that we want to do. But we'd love to see people walking the aisle. Number three I've got up here. It meets a desperate need. Let's open our Bibles to Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. Why, church, should we be witnessing? Why should we be going out and sharing our faith? Listen to these words. Revelation chapter 20, starting in verse 5. Then the rest of the dead did not live again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection over the second death, which has no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Now when the 1,000 years have expired, Satan will be released from his prison and will go out to deceive the nations, which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, whose number is as the sand of the sea. They went up on the breadth of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. The devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are. And they are tormented day and night forever. Then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven had fled. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God. And the books were open. And another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in their books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it. Death and Hades delivered up dead who were in them. And they were judged, each according to his works. And death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone found not written in the Lamb's book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That's a desperate need, isn't it? We think about someone who's lost, and you picture the book that I picture this book. It says the book, they were judged each according to their works by the things which were written in the books. I believe that this is talking about more than one book here. The first one being the judgment upon the unbeliever for the things that they have done that go against the will of God, the sins in their life that separate them from God. They pronounce sentence, judgment, against that person. The second book there is the Lamb's Book of Life. And when they are judged for their crimes and their names are not found written in the Book of Life, separated eternally from God in the lake of fire. That's a desperate, desperate need. So why should we as a church witness? Because there is a desperate need. The fourth thing that we should be doing as a church, we're a Baptist church, and isn't that the same thing I just had up there? There we go. Baptisms. I'm very glad that we've had that baptismal open a bunch lately. But we need it open twice, three times as much next year. And next year we need to see people baptized who we haven't seen in church this year. Next year, I would like to see people baptized in the waters of baptism who have never stepped into the door of this church. That'd be great. That'd be awesome. Another reason that we ought to be out sharing the gospel is for church growth, numerically and spiritually. It would be great to see more people in church and to see more people coming out to church and accepting Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. But if we as a church, if we are witnessing, we are spiritually going to grow. We as believers are going to be encouraged. Our faith is going to grow. We're going to be reading the Word more. We're going to be praying more. As we share our faith, these things are just going to naturally be a part of what happens. We are going to spiritually grow, and our numbers are going to grow. And also, not only are we going to be blessed, people are going to be walking the aisle, we're going to be meeting a desperate need, baptisms are going to occur, we are going to be being a good steward. Luke chapter 16, and I don't think that we have time to read all of that, but let's just go there tonight. And let's look at Luke chapter 16. The parable of the steward. As we think about being a steward, God has given us the greatest gift that we could ever imagine. He has taken our debt and canceled it. Amen. And he said, I give you this gift. Take the gospel and pass it on to someone else. Share that good news to your friends, your neighbors, your loved ones, those who are your enemies. Pass it on. And we, as a faithful steward of Jesus Christ, someone who said, Jesus Christ, I'm going to follow you. I'm going to take up my cross daily and follow you. We shouldn't take that gift of the wiped out debt and keep it to ourselves. We need to make sure that we go and share that gospel with others. Next week, where I'm going to keep on this topic of introduction and why we should witness. But next week, the first thing that we're going to look at, is we're going to look at that's what God commanded us to do. Carlton, the first thing I said when he said, why should we go and witness? He said, because God told us to. He commanded us to. And I've got lots of places in the Bible where God said, you need to go and be a witness, church. That's what he told us to do. And God says, do what's right. Live righteously. What's right? What's wrong? What's right for the Christian to do? Witness. Go out there. Share the gospel. And so it's important for us in this coming year to share the gospel. And I'm hoping that by the time the new year comes around, all of us, myself included, will be absolutely excited about sharing the gospel. And I would encourage you, begin right now, this week. I want to share the gospel. Think about a relative you're going to see over Christmas time. Think about a coworker that you have. Think about somebody you see who has that desperate need. Who, if they were to die tonight, you don't know what would happen to them. The great white throne judgment might be next on the calendar of their eternity. They have a desperate need. And you want this church to be blessed. Now, I know we talk about the way this church gives, prays, encourages, does right, gives to missionaries. And that stuff's all great. That's wonderful.
But do we want to be blessed next year? I think one of the biggest ways that we could be blessed is to see people saved. So let's get excited about doing that, each and every single one of us. And I'm so excited that I love calling people up and talking to them. And I love hearing people that, I know many of you guys, at the workplace throughout the week are witnessing. And that's part of your life. But let's just get excited about encouraging one another. And the people who are here on Sunday mornings who maybe aren't here on Sunday nights that are our friends, let's make evangelism exciting. Let's get people enthused about sharing the gospel. Let's see people get saved. Right? Heavenly Father, I thank you for this book. I thank you for the gospel. Lord, I pray that you might help us to get excited, to take up this challenge of getting a visitor, someone who does not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, to come here this year, to invite them out. And Lord, I pray that when they sit here in this pew, that you would help us to first be prayer warriors, second, to be encouragers, and third, for us to be faithful in sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to be excited about sharing the gospel. Help us to do it personally. Help us to do it corporately. And help us just to reach out into our community, to our neighbors, and to just reach the lost. Lord, it's a big job you've called us to do. And I pray that you might help us to be busy about doing it. In Jesus' name, amen.